welcome. This is Radio Eyes History Show, and I'm your host, Joseph Bolt. I'm so happy to be with you all today. And before we begin today's show, I just want to remind you that Radio Eye is listener-driven, and we welcome any of your comments, suggestions about the programming. So if you have any thoughts or anything at all to say, please call us at 859-422-6390 and let us know what you're thinking. Radio Eye is a reading service intended for people who are blind or have other disabilities that make it difficult to read printed material. Sources for today's show will be cited at the end. So, let's get going for today. Buffalo Bill is on stage, engaged in a fierce battle. He and his scouts are fighting a ferocious group of Cheyenne warriors. The audience holds its breath as the terrifying Cheyenne appear to be gaining the upper hand. But just when it seems all hope is lost, Buffalo Bill, dressed in an elegant black velvet, lace-trimmed Mexican vaquero suit, takes aim at the Cheyenne war chief Yellow Hand and fires. The chief, shot dead, and the Cheyenne are defeated. Buffalo Bill walks over to Yellow Hand's lifeless body, takes out his knife, and removes Yellow Hand's scalp. Buffalo Bill triumphantly raises the scalp in the air. "For Custer," he declares. The audience erupts into wild applause and cheers. "For Custer," they cry. In Buffalo Bill's stage show, The Red Right Hand, or The First Scalp for Custer, the scalping of Yellow Hand was an act of justice. The story of Buffalo Bill's scalping of Yellow Hand would become part of a mythology, a story that William F. Cody himself largely invented, just as he invented his own legend and the Wild West. William Frederick Cody, Buffalo Bill, was born in LeClaire, Iowa, on February 26, 1846. While he was still a child, his family moved to Leavenworth, Kansas. His father, Isaac, barely survived an 1853 stabbing following an anti-slavery speech that he delivered in Fort Leavenworth, then part of the Kansas Territory. Pro-slavery sentiment in the town made life difficult for the Cody family, and at one point, a plot to murder Isaac was foiled when his young son William, not yet 10 years old, rode 30 miles to warn him of the plan. Cody left his home in Leavenworth at the young age of 12, working for a wagon train going to Fort Laramie, Wyoming. Herding cattle and driving a wagon, he crossed the Great Plains several times. In 1859, Bill rushed to the gold fields of Colorado, along with thousands of other prospectors. He met with little success, searching for gold for 2 months near the town of Black Hawk, Colorado. On his return to Kansas, he stopped in Julesburg, Colorado, where he was recruited to ride in the Pony Express in 1860. Most of his time with the Pony Express was spent in Kansas, although he occasionally traveled across northeast Colorado. The SmithsonianMag.com website reports that at age 11, Cody did carry messages on horseback for the freighting firm of Major and Russell, which eventually became Russell, Majors, and Waddell. But historians have had a hard time verifying his assertions that he worked for the Pony Express. There are contradictions in his biography, his autobiography, and one historian even concluded that when the Pony Express existed, that Cody was in school in Leavenworth, Kansas, and couldn't have been riding back and forth across Wyoming at the same time. Shortly after the death of his mother in 1863, Cody enlisted in the 7th Kansas Cavalry Regiment and fought with them for the rest of the Civil War. After the war, on March 6, 1866, Bill married Louisa Frederiki in St. Louis, Missouri, and had their first child, Arta Lucille. Three more children would follow. Kit Carson, named after the famous frontiersman in 1870, Ora Maud in 1872, and Irma Louise in 1883. Bill spent large stretches of time away from his wife and their four children. In 1904, he sued for divorce, claiming that Louisa had attempted to poison him. And the suit turned into a huge scandal covered by most major papers, with reporters dredging up Cody's earlier affairs and bouts of drinking. The judge ultimately dismissed the case, since the accusations of poisoning were baseless. The couple stayed married and managed to reconcile before Cody's death. Bill was given the name Buffalo Bill for his talent in slaughtering buffalo. At first, Cody hunted buffalo for food. Buffalo were present around the country, and hunting them was a popular sport. But Cody was obscenely prolific in killing, claiming to have shot dead 4,280 buffalo in just 18 months. He got a job with the railroad companies to kill buffalo in order to feed railroad workers. But quickly, the work became not only about killing buffalo. The work also became a part of killing Indians. As American colonizers looked to expand their territory westward, and the building of railroads in the mid to late 19th century, they came in direct conflict with the native people who had lived on those lands for centuries. Prime railroad territory was often prime grazing territory, and valuable resources like gold were found in places where the Sioux hunted. The U.S. government had declared de facto total war against native people wherever they stood between the United States and its expansion to the West. The United States attacked native people in every way it could, fighting combatants on the battlefield, killing women and children in their homes, spreading disease, forcing relocation. Nothing was off limits. But still, Native communities fought to maintain their lands, and they fought well. In 1869, facing a protracted battle with native tribes like the Sioux, President Ulysses S. Grant appointed Philip Sheridan as commanding general of the army and asked him to help solve the Indian problem once and for all. Sheridan reached out to William Tecumseh Sherman, who had distinguished himself with his scorched earth battle tactics during the Civil War. Sherman observed that wherever buffalo existed, there would be native people, and they would continue to fight for land wherever the buffalo roamed. Sherman's advice to Sheridan was simple: remove the buffalo in order to remove the Indian. Cody had gained a reputation as a skilled hunter, and he went to work for Sheridan, killing as many buffalo as he could. Men from all over the country boarded trains headed west in order to shoot buffalo with 50 caliber rifles from train windows. They killed thousands of buffalo a day, leaving the animals' lifeless bodies where they fell on the plains to rot. Wealthy and powerful men from the East Coast and even from Europe rode west to join in on the fun, guided by Buffalo Bill Cody. It is said that Cody named his 50 caliber gun after the Renaissance Italian femme fatale Lucrezia Borgia. Borgia was perhaps best known as the subject of a Victor Hugo play and had a reputation for being beautiful but deadly. Today, Cody's gun is exhibited at the Buffalo Bill Center of the West, but its stock is missing and appears to have broken off at some point. Though no one knows what actually happened, there are rumors that Cody broke it over an elk to kill the animal, or perhaps that the Grand Duke Alexei of Russia borrowed it for the hunt, and his horse stepped on it. As journalists traveled with the wealthy men to document the hunts for newspapers across the country, Cody saw his first real opportunity for fame. During this time, authors avidly romanticized the exploits of the heroes and villains who roamed the plains. And Buffalo Bill Cody was no exception. Ned Buntline, who wrote several Western stories that became known as dime novels, further exaggerated and created the hero of Buffalo Bill. Hungry for news of the West, Easterners quickly bought many books of this type by Buntline and others. In 1872, when Cody was just 26 years old, Buntline persuaded him to take the stage playing himself, eventually leading to Buffalo Bill's Wild West show. Soon Cody was regularly traveling back and forth, east to star in stage shows and then back west to continue the wholesale slaughter of buffalo. As famous hunters like Cody popularized buffalo hunting, and countless men joined in the killing, they found that they had to travel further and further out west to search for buffalo as numbers dwindled. The excitement following the widespread slaughter of buffalo began to wane. Cody, now having tasted celebrity, went in search of greater fame and found it in battle. An experienced scout with the U.S. Army, he signed on to join in the Plains War of 1876, announcing from the stage of one of his shows that he was leaving, quote, play acting in search of the real thing, end quote. He packed his costume and went off to war. Opportunity struck a little over a month after Cody joined the 5th Cavalry in southern Wyoming. A small band of Cheyenne warriors had been spotted heading west in pursuit of 2 U.S. military couriers. Cody gained permission from his superiors to take a small group of fighters to engage the warriors. Before leaving, Cody changed out of his typical sturdy, rough clothing that the rest of the cavalry wore and into his costume. Dressed in black velvet pants and a red silk shirt trimmed with silver buttons, Cody rode out to meet fame and fortune. The fight itself lasted only a few minutes, but after Cody killed Cheyenne warrior Heowee, whose name means yellow hair, Cody scalped the dead warrior and took his war bonnet and weapons as trophies. According to Cody, he thrust the scalp in the air and shouted, "The first scalp for Custer." Well, nobody else in the area at the skirmish remembered him doing that. None of the warriors that the men fought had been at the Battle of Little Bighorn or had likely ever encountered the revered General George Armstrong Custer. Within a week of his killing Yellowhair, exaggerated stories of Cody's bravery under fire began to reach the newspapers. A few months after killing Yellowhair, Cody left the cavalry to return to the stage. Each night, he donned the very outfit that he wore in battle to reenact a wildly dramatized version of the killing of Yellowhair, now renamed by Cody as Yellow Hand, who was in reality a simple warrior, but had now been promoted to the position of chief by Cody. While papers denounced the blatant glorification of violence, audiences packed the theater to see Cody wave the scalp of Yellow Hand in the air in victory. Cody would go on to develop more stage productions, showcasing the violent masculinity of the West, and with great success, leading to the 1883 debut of his most famous show, Buffalo Bill's Wild West and Congress of Rough Riders of the World. The timing of Cody's Wild West was perfect. In the mid-19th century, white men in England and the United States began to worry about their young men who had it too easy. Their wealth and comfort had made them soft. In the United States, a country still fighting to retain the land it had stolen from native people, this softness could threaten the expansion of America across the continent. The call for white men of America to maintain physical power was not just political. It was a spiritual calling. Cody's Wild West show offered everything that white men in search of power and glory were looking for. In the show, white men were noble and brave. They fearlessly tamed animals and fought savages. Indians, even when Cody allowed them to be something less than mindless killing machines, were seen as great relics of the past, conquered by the superiority of white men. The lure of Western adventure did not dissipate as these boys became men. Instead, they set out to star in their own stories of physical dominance. Cody expanded his show from a small stage to an extravaganza the size of a small town. He hired real native warriors to play native warriors. Gunslingers and cowboys would join the show. Eventually, he would add Zulu warriors, Mexican vaqueros, Turks, and dozens of other exotic performers. Buffalo Bill's Wild West became the most popular show in America, and he became one of the wealthiest and most famous entertainers in the world. Included in the show were Wild Bill Hickok, Annie Oakley, and even Sitting Bull. Many other dime store novel heroes would inspire an entire generation of young white men to head west in search of their own manifest destiny. With the Wild West show gaining in popularity, Cody also strove to increase its respectability. Buffalo Bill's Wild West was not a show. It was, according to Cody, an educational event. It was living history. People would come to Wild West to learn as much as to be entertained. Few questioned the supposed educational value or legitimacy of his project, and the racist, exaggerated stories of white male American bravery, leadership, and righteous victory became a part of our collective understanding of American history. These misleading legends persist to this day. Part of Cody's personality was to always look forward to the future. As a businessman, he invested his earnings in an unsuccessful Arizona mine. He did some ranching, coal and oil development, filmmaking, and publishing, and even founded the town of Cody, Wyoming in 1896. He built hotels in both Cody and in Sheridan, Wyoming. He started the Cody Enterprise in 1899, 3 years after founding the town of Cody, which had grown to a population of 300. The newspaper is still in operation today under the same masthead. Eventually, another show was providing serious competition. Pawnee Bill's Wild West and Great Far East Show, operated by Gordon Pawnee Bill Lilly, who had, years earlier, worked for Buffalo Bill. When Cody's show began to suffer financially, he sold a one-third interest in his production to Pawnee Bill in 1908. Soon, Gordon bought the remaining interest in the show, but retained Buffalo Bill as a partner. The two traveled together as the Two Bills Show until 1913, when the venture went bankrupt. It was billed as one of the entertainment triumphs of the ages, and the show traveled worldwide, entertaining audiences with realistic and fantasy views of the Old West. The show closed in Denver, Colorado in 1913 after touring 5 seasons. Buffalo Bill never retired, and on January 10th, 1917, at the age of 70, Buffalo Bill died while visiting his sister's home in Denver. He was said to be deeply in debt at the time of his death. It is also said that Cody's estranged wife, Louisa, sold his body for $10,000 to the publisher of the Denver Post and to the city of Denver. He was buried on Lookout Mountain, west of Denver, overlooking the Great Plains. His wife, Louisa, was buried next to her husband 4 years later. Buffalo Bill's life has inspired many artists even after his death. Mark Twain described the Wild West show as the country's most, quote, distinctly American pop culture export to the world, end quote. F. Scott Fitzgerald combined the personalities of Buffalo Bill and Daniel Boone to create Dan Cody, a character in his book The Great Gatsby. Film director and screenwriter Sam Peckinpah had Buffalo Bill in mind when he created Randolph Scott's character in Ride the High Country. And even the Beatles found inspiration in their lighthearted, satirical song, The Continuing Story of Bungalow Bill. Buffalo Bill is still remembered as an icon of the American West, a soldier and showman, as his Wild West show was taken around the world and lasted for about 30 years. As Cody interacted with the native people who worked in his show, he became less comfortable with the scalping act that had launched his career. The scalp and war bonnet of yellow hair were removed from the stage, never to be displayed again. Cody would eventually speak against the scalping of native people. He began to advocate for his former foes, the Native Americans, and push for better treatment. In 1885, he stated the defeat of Custer was not a massacre. Skilled fighters with orders to kill were pursuing the Indians. For centuries, they had been hounded from the Atlantic to the Pacific and back again. They had their wives and little ones to protect, and they were fighting for their existence. On another occasion, Cody said, "Every Indian outbreak that I have ever known has resulted from broken promises and broken treaties by the government." He would also come to regret the massacre of Buffalo that had given him this stage name. While the Great Buffalo Hunt featuring live bison would always be a prominent part of Cody's show, he began to speak out against the buffalo hunting that he had popularized. Perhaps one of the most brutal of white men privileges is the opportunity to live long enough to regret the carnage brought upon others. Sources for today's show came from SmithsonianMag.com, Murder, Marriage, and the Pony Express, 10 Things You Didn't Know About Buffalo Bill, written by Luane Bosano in January of 2017. And from CodyYellowstone.org, 14 Things You Might Not Know About Buffalo Bill Cody. From the Park County Travel Council, written in February of 2023. And from Time.com, What the True Story of Buffalo Bill Reveals About the Myth of the Wild West, written by Ojima Aluha in November of 2021. And finally, from the legendsofamerica.com, Buffalo Bill Cody, Frontiersman and Entertainer, written by Kathy Alexander in October of 2022. Well, I guess that about does it for this show. I sure hope you enjoyed listening as much as I did telling you about it. And I thank you very much for your time today. I'm your host, Joseph Bolt. And I'll be back with another chapter of Radio Eye History. Until then, happy trails.